Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, women landowners and conservation professionals have formed an organization to help other women learn and share with each other. And our guests from Wisconsin Women in Conservation are Jennifer Nelson, who is the Northwest Regional Coordinator. Jennifer, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Larry. Thanks.
And also with us, Mary Ann Holm, who is an organic beef grazer and a coach for the group. Mary Ann, welcome to you.
Thank you for having us. Glad to be here.
Well, I'm great to have you both with us. We'll talk about the organization and their mentoring workshops and field days. And I hope you'll join in. Are you involved in Wisconsin Women in Conservation? Have you attended maybe any events that they've held? What questions do you have about the organization? What's your own experience, perhaps, as a woman landowner? I hope you'll join in. Number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could send us an email to ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Jennifer, let's start with you. Why was Wisconsin Women in Conservation created?
Yeah. Well, I think that a big part of it, you know, over 35% of producers in Wisconsin now are women, according to a 2017 consensus. And it became really apparent to NRCS and especially our state conservationist, Angela Biggs, that women were being underserved by the great programs that are available to implement conservation practices and plans on land. And so she really spearheaded this effort to fund this program. The program is a collaboration between five groups in the state of Wisconsin and spearheaded by Michael Fields Agricultural Institute. I work for MOSES, the Midwest Organic and Sustainable Education Service. And then I collaborate as a coordinator of the Northwest area of Wisconsin, specifically working with Dunn, Polk, and Barron counties in Northwest Wisconsin. And then there are four other coordinators in Wisconsin working in the different areas. We're a big state.
So, and as a coordinator, what does a coordinator do?
Yeah, coordinates, right, totally. I mean, I see myself as a bridge, helping women landowners and farmers connect with NRCS professionals, Pheasants Forever professionals, VNR professionals, through field days, through workshops, through even just our listserv that's available on our website. So I really just help connect people with the resources they need to get conservation plans implemented and written for their land.
Hmm. Mary Ann, you are a coach. What's your role as a coach?
Well, I've been on our farm now for about 25 years. And when we purchased our farm back in 96, 97, I really did not have a farm background. I was kind of a rural kid that had a few horses, but way back in the 90s, on a visit to Wisconsin, we were living in California at the time, I picked up a Country Today and I read an article about rotational grazing. And in those days, that was a new idea. And it was kind of brought about by the polywire fence that could be moved, you know, wind up your fence and move them and put a new fence post as you go. So in the 90s, there was this grazing networks were developed. And, you know, I was one of few women on those pasture walks back in the 90s and learning how to graze cattle. And so over the years, you know, I wasn't afraid to ask questions and always knew my limitations on my knowledge. And so I was happy to participate in this effort because I thought, you know, let's just take that model of the grazing networks and these pasture walks and extend it to women, where they feel like they're kind of the primary guests and perhaps won't feel the pressure of thinking, well, this is a dumb question or I should already know this. So, yeah, it's just a way for me to give back and to also learn and be excited to see new people and new ideas and another vibrant community get started.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and maybe tell us about your Homegirls Dairy.
Right. So I actually don't raise beef here. We do kind of have a dairy focus. We did ship organic milk for 12 years, and I did have six daughters at home, but now they're all grown and off doing their own farms and different adventures. So, but that was the impetus for the name Homegirls Dairy. And today we raise dairy heifers. So we custom raise those heifers from other organic farms that need the pasture to meet the organic standards. So we still have that dairy focus. And I guess instead of plural home girls, it's the home girl now. So I guess I feel that home.
Oh, when you said heifers, I thought of a story. I just heard somebody, a woman was going to the bathroom and there was another, I don't know where they were, but it was somewhere out in the West. And there was a girl standing there by the bathroom and she said, "Oh, I'm so glad to see you. I don't know if I'm supposed to go into the heifer or the steer." Which was how they had named the bathroom. So, you know, there are people out there who don't know what a heifer is.
Yeah, there are. And, you know, aside from our own organic farm, I also do work as an organic inspector. So I get around to about 85 farms a year of different types of enterprises. And I see that there is a new generation out there that wants diversity, that wants, you know, the value added products, the niche markets. And I think people are really hungry for just taking what they have and doing right by the land. Or, you know, in this world of crazy, people think, you know, I've got this little footprint on this earth. What can I do to improve what I have so that I leave the land better for the future? Or create resiliency. And so this program here and the event we held yesterday on my farm was just designed to bring that awareness of, let's get something tangible, small enough that people can take action, and how can we work together to accomplish these types of conservation practices.
Let's talk about that event. I think you hosted it. How did it go? And, you know, sort of what was it like? What did people do? Jennifer, do you want to chime in?
Yeah, I'd love to talk about it. It was wonderful. We had about 30 women and children at Marianne's farm yesterday in Elk Mound, Wisconsin, and she led us on a pasture walk along with, we had an NRCS professional with us and a DNR forester, and we walked along the pasture. We hung out with the teenage heifers and who are on the rotationally grazing on the pasture, and then Marianne explained what she's been doing there for 25 years, and it was incredible. It was so beautiful, and I think really spoke to how pasture rotational grazing and pasture building really builds soil and benefits, because, you know, we are by all intents and purposes in a drought year, and they are on a sandy shelf. No. I think where they're geographically located, and their pasture, so it is very sandy soil, you can see it, but their pasture is not dry. The pastures are lush and beautiful. The cows are healthy. There's some forest land. We had a forester who explained what they've done as far as managing the forest land, and it was very, we all learned a lot and had some space to connect and really ask questions, and it was awesome.
So maybe, Marianne, you can talk about for a minute about how do you have those lush pastures in a drought, sort of a dry condition in on a sandy soil? I'm sure some people would say, how the heck she do that?
Well, I also want to give credit to some of these agencies that we've worked with over the years. You know, NRCS, I don't have to, get paid or anything to plug them, but that agency has been so helpful over the years in providing technical support and some cost share opportunities for us. And so 20 years ago, you know, we developed a grazing plan and we had a grazing specialist come out and help us write that plan. And NRCS helped us with some cost share for fencing. And we were able to implement some of those early conservation programs.
You know what, we'll talk some more about that. And of course, we've got lots to talk about because our two guests, Jennifer Nelson and Marianne Holm, will be with us right up until 12:30 today. We'll take a quick look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back with Jennifer and with Marianne. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about the Wisconsin Women in Conservation Collaborative on the show right now. And with us from the organization are Jennifer Nelson, the Northwest Regional Coordinator, and Marianne Holm, an organic beef grazer and coach for the group. So great to have them with us. And I hope you'll join in as a woman landowner. Have you had difficulty finding funding and other resources? What questions do you have about Wisconsin Women in Conservation? Love to hear from you. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Well, I want to go back to, for just a second, Chris in Richland Center has a comment. We'll get to that in just a minute. But I want to go back to the pasture that we were talking about. And Marianne, you were talking about the fact that this is sort of a long range. I mean, it's not something that happens. You start it today and tomorrow you get a nice lush pasture. It takes some work and some effort.
You know, fertility of the soil and organic matter does not happen overnight. And, you know, when we read stories about Iowa losing all their topsoil, I mean, these things can be degraded quickly, but building them back up takes a lot of time. So I really firmly believe that the land needs livestock and livestock need the land. And so through the cattle being out there rotating the pastures and depositing their manure, harvesting their own crop, putting the manure back on to the land and then rotating where they are, that's going to build organic matter. Now we've been able to interseed pasture and build biomass through special programs through NRCS. So they, you know, they're supporting us in this effort too. But it does. It takes careful stewardship. So by interseeding, by paying attention to micronutrients on our land and applying those micronutrients, and not just paying attention to nitrogen, you know, we've been able to build soil. So this is a life work, really. It is. It's going to take time, but hopefully, when I'm gone, my land is in a better condition than when I came.
Sounds like it already is. Sounds like it already is. And you mentioned NRCS, and there are people who are probably wondering what the heck's NRCS. It's the Natural Resources Conservation Service. which
That's
is
right.
A great organ, a federal organization, federal group.
It is an agency that works under the USDA. And so, you know, those offices are in every county and people can approach them. And a lot of times people that are new to the land or new landowners, or even perhaps a woman who's found herself to be a widow, they're not sure how to get in the door there. Where do I go? How do I find these resources? You know, there are a lot of women now that own land. Like I said, becoming widows, and perhaps their husbands manage things, and now they're, you know, passed it on to someone who's renting. But we're looking in our circle to see how can we push the needle or you know, open up that envelope where women are like aware of conservation practices that they could perhaps even implement in a rental agreement, you know, like say, mm-hmm. I'd like to see some cover crops on my land, or what does properly managed ground look like, or what kind of things should I expect from a renter? So that's another area where women have an opportunity to make a difference.
Yeah, and Jennifer, I imagine that's some of the takeaway from yesterday's event. I was just wondering, what were some of the things attendees took away from that day or any of these days that you workshops that you run?
Yeah, absolutely. That was part of it. And I think, you know, I'll just give a little plug here for the website, which is WIWIC, WIWIC.org. And if you email info at WIWIC.org, then we can help. Myself or one of the other coordinators can help connect you with an NRCS professional in your area. If you don't know where to start, let us know and we can help with that.
And just to mention, I want to mention the site again. It's wiwic.org. But go ahead.
That's
sorry.
Right, Larry. Yeah. And info@wiwic.org is the email address, the general email address that will get to us. So, yeah. And as far as takeaways from yesterday, I mean, I think one of the big things, as well as just the learning about the land and Marianne sharing what she's been doing. And then one of the key components of the WIWIC program that I've really loved the more that I do it is the learning circle for women. And in the field day, we did it at the end of the field day. So we sit in the circle and then we all share, you know, our name and whether we own land and what we're doing with that land and what we're looking to do and some of our goals. And then we learn from each other's stories. And I think that is really a powerful piece of this program, is learning from what each other are doing. And then we make those connections. Oh, hello, I'm Jennifer. And I remember hearing that you're doing this and I would like to do that. And then we can develop relationships that carry forward. And that's what really spurs on this continued work.
Chris in Richland Center, thanks for waiting. Hello.
Hello. Hi. I am so grateful that you have these ladies on. They're awesome. I've heard Marianne present before, and it strikes me that there's a relationship between what they're talking about and the previous presenter who was talking about rebugging the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I wondered if Marianne could talk about whether she's seen more bugs.
Ah. Marianne?
Bugs. Wow.
We talked about, I don't know if you heard, were able to hear any of the show, but the first part of the show, but we had the author of Rebugging the Planet. That was her book. And she's an entomologist from England. We talked to her from England and about the importance that insects play in our globe. And, you know, there are some that are problem insects, but most insects are quite beneficial. So that's what she was getting at.
Right. And I'm sure no bug expert, but I will say that some of the things that you start to notice when you take the time to observe is that you get acquainted with the birds. You get acquainted with the very many different bees that are out there. I know for myself, I found a rusty patch bumblebee in our pasture, and that is an endangered species. And it comes from years of just looking. Just start by looking and observing, what do you see, and noticing. That takes time outside. That takes a variety of species, right, in the pasture or along the hedgerows or in your ditches, actively planting for pollinators and such. My whole family, for whatever reason, has really gravitated towards birds. And we've hosted birding events at our farm. And the bobolinks that come all the way from South America and fly here, they're grassland birds. These birds obviously probably are eating some of these bugs. It starts, it's such a whole diverse web and such a delicate, fragile thing. Yeah. Our ecosystem and also our relationships with one another. I mean, and the knowledge that we can gain from one another and the in the generations that have come before us. Boy, it all works together in a beautiful picture.
It does. Jennifer, anything to add there?
Yeah, I get so excited about, so we have a little plot of land as well, 16 acres in Pierce County, and we've been here 6 years, and I used to grow cut flowers. And I still love flowers, so I grow a lot of flowers, and I've been planting a lot of perennial patches. And I have to say, just like what we see on our land here, even just 6 years later, is amazing. Butterflies, monarchs, Fritillaria, I think that's what they're called. Mm-hmm. There's also a flower that's similar, so I might get them mixed up. Hummingbirds, hummingbird moths. It's amazing. And so many different bees. You really can see the difference when you start planting these things that pollinators can eat.
Local plants. Yes, indeed. Chris, thank you so much. Lynn in Door County will give you a chance. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, I have a question for the ladies on the show. Have they seen the TV, I guess it's a documentary called Kiss the Ground. I believe it's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Marianne, have you seen it?
Sure, I've seen it. It's a overall great show. It really embraces the fact that our health comes up from the soil, you know, that everything starts in the soil, and we have healthy soils, we get healthy plants, we've got the healthy animals, and that comes right to the healthy people. So that regenerative process, the recycling of nutrients, and our health starting in the soil. Yeah, it's a great, I'd recommend listeners to watch it if they haven't.
Yeah, Lynn, you obviously must have liked it as well.
It three times. I've had everyone in my family watch it, and they're having their friends watch it because it has a hopeful message that we're not, there is something we can do. And as the lady said, within a few years, we can see a huge difference between dirt and soil and the microorganisms that live in soil that are non-existent in dirt, that, and the carbon. I never understood how carbon sort of is in this cycle from the ground up to our atmosphere and then down again. It was fascinating. It was absolutely fascinating. My brother-in-law has about 700 acres that he farms. I made him watch it, and he's seriously considering going to no-till because of this.
Oh, well, Lynn, thank you so much for that call. Well, here's one person, Lynn, making maybe a difference on 700 acres.
Yay!
That's
way to go, Lynn.
and it doesn't have to be that you're a landowner. You know, if we can get in these conversations, whether it's through a movie that she saw or through a circle like what we have created, not everyone in our circle own land, but we're developing this appreciation for these practices and supporting one another Maybe you aren't a landowner. Maybe you're not a farm owner, but maybe you have an aunt that owns some land, or, you know, there's all these connections where we can be supportive. And I guess yesterday we had a little bit of time where we were out in the woods talking about forestry management. And I just wanted to mention about that is that, you know, we're not actively, you know, making a living off our forest or anything like that, but we're managing the forest for wildlife. We're managing the forest, in my mind, to create a little microclimate for our farm, because our farm is on such light ground. Those wooded areas are important to hold moisture for as a windbreak. So sometimes, you know, farmers in general will think, well, I'm not farming that land, but look at what it's bringing in. Look at how it's adding protection. Look at how it's providing habitat for those necessary birds or wildlife that's actually building resilience on your farm. So it's, I'm just excited about these circles. You know, we can broaden the net, we can develop these relationships, and as communities, we can start to care for the land and care for each other.
Oh, well said. Jennifer, you look like you might want to add something there.
Yeah, I get excited just talking about this. And I, you know, I just have to chime in with Marianne and with our caller, Lynn, just that, you know, our message is hopeful. There's a, we held some summer virtual camps. They were virtual webinars that many women, we had upwards of 200 women joining these virtual events, and they were professionals talking about different topics. And we had one on regenerative agriculture. And I think it was in that one. You can look back on the blog on the website if you'd like to watch those, because they're fascinating. And I really enjoyed them myself. She talked about just having hope, and that, you know, there's so much in the, we hear a lot about climate change and about the negative pieces of that, but there is a lot of power in just a few years of regenerating soil and building soil. And that can make a huge difference in the wildlife, in what's growing, and in all of those things. And ultimately the oxygen that we breathe.
Yeah.
Right. By sequestering carbon and all the good things that soil does. So I think we do have a really hopeful message in that we can make a difference with our little plots of land, wherever they are.
You, I know you have a couple, I think you have a couple more virtual workshops scheduled. What are those like? And when are they?
So stay tuned. There will be a winter webinar, and we're working on that right now. But what we do have upcoming, well, a couple of things that you can check out now. On the blog, again, wiwic.org, and you just go to the blog tab. There are those summer webinars. There's four of them, I believe, that you can watch. And those are really interesting. Up our field, we finished our field days for this season in Wisconsin, but we have conservation planning workshops coming up, and those are virtual events. So we'll just be online. They're targeted to the area, like mine will be targeted to the Northwest Wisconsin. But if you're not in that area, I can help you get connected with, you know, any other area that you're in Wisconsin. And those will help you really understand. We'll have NRCS professionals there talking through how to write a plan, because that's really the first step in getting some of this funding, accessing the cost share, and some of the things that are available through the NRCS programs, writing a plan for preserving resources and doing some conservation work on your land.
So lots there for sure. And again, the wiwic.org is the place to go. And it's great that people can go back and watch these other ones. I'm wondering, are we, as Wisconsin, an island, or are there groups like this in other areas? I mean, we have listeners in Minnesota and Iowa and Illinois and Michigan and all over the place.
Yeah.
Do those folks have an opportunity?
Yeah, so this is a pilot program and it is unique to Wisconsin. So once again, we in Wisconsin are groundbreaking. thanks to the Wisconsin State NRCS. It's pretty cool. But there are different programs throughout the Midwest that and NRCS is in every state. There are National Research and Conservation Service in every state, and then there's also a federal agency. So there's a lot of ways to get connected in. WWIC is specific to Wisconsin. But if you contact us and you're in another state, we can help you. Like I came from Minnesota. I'm a Minnesota transplant. So I still have a lot of connections there, and we can help get you connected into something like this. But I do think this is a model for other states to tap into for sure.
Mary Ann, I saw a little funny story an awesome story going. Let's go back to your farm for a minute that had to do with cow pies.
I guess the worm was well, I guess I would say that when we bought our farm 25 years ago, you know, it had been under conventional agricultural production. And I wasn't a farmer. So, again, not afraid to ask questions and just kind of observing, et cetera. But there were cow pies out on our fields that just did not disappear. And our kids would grab them and play frisbee with those things, you know, and they just didn't disappear. So we ended up bringing in a spring tooth harrow and breaking up those things, trying to get them to go back to the ground. But what was happened is that, you know, chemical agriculture, obviously chemicals are a tool that some have employed and some people have employed widely, but they do interrupt the biological in the soil. And they do affect the microbes and the dung beetles and such. So we couldn't find earthworms when we came to our farm 25 years ago. And those cow patties sat on top of the ground. Now, 3 days after the cattle have been in a spot, those beetles and the earthworms are just devouring and bringing all that under the ground. So no more cow pie frisbee here on the farm.
I love that story. I really do. And I want to thank both of you so much. And let's just go back for finding out more. Jennifer, tell us again where we go to learn more about your group.
Yeah, thanks, Larry. So WWIC.org, WWIC.org is the website. And then if you want more information or you want to get connected with myself or another coordinator, info@WWIC.org will get you to a person.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking with both of you. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll have a chance to meet again and visit again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Larry.
Jennifer Nelson is the Northwest Regional Coordinator of Wisconsin Women in Conservation. She works with the Midwest Organic and Sustainable Education Services, or we call it MOSES for short, facilitating farmer education and farmland access. And our other guest today, Mary Ann Holm, is a coach, and her farm is obviously sounds like an amazing farm. So it was great to have both of them with us and learn more about that group. We'll be talking about the upcoming Around the Farm Table shows on Wisconsin PBS tomorrow and learn about the benefits of fermentation with a registered dietitian. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller.